afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us here. Another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thank you for joining us here after a long weekend for myself. Tim took Friday off. It was fantastic. Threw the kids in the van. Big time road trip. Drove all the way around Lake Michigan. All the way around. It was a very fun trip. But we're back. It's Monday. Beautiful day. May is upon us. May 8th. When I left him, the Toronto Maple Leafs, their future looked bright. The Florida Panthers were coming off a huge high of just pulling off the greatest upset in sports history, defeating the President's Trophy Boston Bruins, who everybody thought pretty much had their name etched on the cup. Like, it was all a formality. Just play the games and they're going to win. Somehow the Bruins blow that. And we were moving on to the second round without the Boston Bruins. That's when I left. Fast forward, Tim, 4 days. It's a totally different landscape. But before we jump into the hockey talk, how are you doing? Because I know you've been a little bit down. You're a big Boston Bruins fan. I don't know if everybody knows that. The Bruins lost, probably in one of the most dramatic fashions I've ever seen in my life. Losing to Florida Panthers in game 7, your best player is completely choking. One of the, if not the best all-around player of all time, laying an egg to the point where you're questioning his legacy. Is this guy even going to have his jersey raised in the rafters? Where before it was a surefire Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer, Patrice Bergeron. Your world got turned upside down. How are you doing now, Tim? About a week post, you know, the big game 7 loss.
Okay, this is what I've been worried about. And hello, everyone. Thank you for coming back. This is what I'm worried about, because I know you're just picking at me right now and like it's all in good fun. But this whole thing with the Bruins is going to be relived over and over again. We talk about training camp, who's going to show up the summer, who's going to be traded, signed, re-signed, whatever. Like, and it's all going to be in the context of what happened last week when we revisit the regular season. Doesn't matter what happens during the regular season now. Doesn't matter how good or bad they are. It's all going to be in the context of what happened last week when they enter the playoffs next year. Who are they going to be matched up against? Does it matter? No. Because it's all going to go back to that. I well deserved, but this is the part that I don't think people realize is, like, for Bruins fans, this is just the beginning of this a long, ongoing conversation about what this means historically for the future and past of this franchise. Maybe that's a little dramatic, but yeah, it's not going away.
But the funny thing is, there is light at the end of this tunnel. And the beautiful light that there is for the Boston Bruins, strangely enough, is the Toronto Maple Leafs. This same Toronto Maple Leaf team, their fan base chanting for the Panthers to win in game 7 versus the Boston Bruins. They're openly begging for the Florida Panthers to win so they wouldn't have to face the big bad Bruins, the vaunted Bruins. They slayed one dragon in the Tampa Bay Lightning. They didn't want to have to do it again. They wanted an easy series. Kind of something to just, you know, bat around a little bit while we prepare for the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, lo and behold, they got their wish. They get the Florida Panthers. They don't have to face the President's Trophy winning, the best regular season team in NHL history, Boston Bruins. They don't have to face that team because they completely choked. All of their top players didn't come. Pasta, Marchand, McAvoy, Patrice Bergeron, Charlie Coyle, Linus Omark stunk. Friend of the show, Jeremy Swayman, couldn't save them. Everybody stunk for the Bruins.
John. Yeah. Someone right now is thinking, what episode is this? Did I already listen to this one? I've heard this all before. This is how you started the last few.
You can't live in La La Land. You have to be in reality. That's what happened to the Boston Bruins. The Toronto Maple Leafs don't have to face them. They get to face the Florida Panthers. Don't look now. They're down 0-3. They are getting completely worked by the Florida Panthers, a team who is not far removed from winning the President's Trophy. And I think everybody's seen the X's and O's. Everybody's seen the game. So we don't want to get into this. We've all heard it. Matthews and Marner aren't scoring. They're getting outworked. Florida's just playing a better team game. The Stars got to step up. Everybody's heard that. I don't want to regurgitate what everybody else says, because every time I look at an article, every time I turn on the radio or a clip or the TV or whatever, I don't have a TV. It's a lifestyle choice. But every time I ingest some Toronto Maple Leafs media, that's all I hear. I get it. Matthews needs to play better. Marner needs to play better. Nylander, Tavares, O'Reilly, all of them need to play better. Well, what do we focus on, Tim? We focus on why this is happening. And I have one answer for you. Well, it's actually a layered answer. It starts from the top. It starts from Brandon Shanahan and Kyle Dubas. Those two guys set the tone. Yes, Kyle Dubas is lauded for his moves. He brings in every player that the Toronto players want. They get bounced a few years ago. We need grit. We bring in some grit. We get Kyle Clifford. We get Wayne Simmons. We get some grit. We get bounced again the next year. We need some more experience. We go out. We get you Patrick Marleau. We get you Jason Spezza. We bring in Joe Thornton. We get some experience. Oh, that's not working. We need some more help on the back end. Okay, we go and get you help on the back end. We bring in Giordano. We bring in TJ Brody. We bring in, Jake Muzzin. That's not working. Oh, we need a new goaltender. Okay, we're going to revamp the goaltenders. We bring in Ilya Samsonov. We bring in Matt Murray. We're going to revamp the goaltenders. Every time the players say they need something else, they get it for them. At the time, it seems great. But here's the problem. Never once did Dubas or Shanahan look at the players who were asking for all these things and say, you know what? No. Find it within yourselves. You're the problem. You're the issue here. The reason we've been bounced six straight years in the first round isn't because we didn't have X, Y, and Z. It's because of you, Mitch Marner. It's because of you, Austin Matthews. It's because of you, Willie Nylander. You, John Tavares. And they didn't just put their foot down and say, no, you need to go out in the offseason and work harder. Oh, but we need to, we can't wear a suit to the rink. We need to feel relaxed. Suits don't fit our style. Okay, yeah, that's fine. You can wear your track suits to the rink, you guys. No, that's cool. That's cool. You can wear your track suits. Oh, we need more days off because our bodies are sore. Okay, you get more days off. Sure, that's fine. Whatever you guys need, more days off. Oh, we need music at our practice because it's not fun enough at practice. Let's play some music. Okay, we'll pipe in whatever. We want Justin Bieber. You guys are friends with the Biebs. We'll play Bieber at practice so you guys can have fun at practice. Every single demand that they had, they got it, Tim. And at what point do you say no to these guys? And I believe no one has ever told these guys no. And I know I say this a lot and I sound like a old guy on the porch, get off my lawn. It's true. It's absolutely true. These kids are spoiled. They're entitled. And when adversity hits, they completely disappear. Absolutely disappear. So when they get by the Tampa Bay Lightning after the first round, good for them. Very undermanned Tampa Bay Lightning team playing without Victor Hedman's playing on who knows what was wrong with him. The guy was absolutely injured. Braden Point went face first into the boards. He was just almost dead and he's playing. Vasilevskiy played terrible and they squeak by them winning three games in overtime in Tampa Bay. Rightfully so, only being the best team in one of those games. They squeak by that series when they were the worst team. They think it's going to get easier. We want the Florida Panthers. All of a sudden, they go into game one. Tkachuk punches him in the face. Sam Bennett does the rock bottom on anybody he wants to because no one's doing anything. Radko Gudas is just dominating everybody. Everybody's afraid to go into the corner with him. And there's no pushback because they have never faced adversity and overcame it in their whole career. And that's the truth. You can say all you want. Oh, their skill. This is not their game. I don't care. We can say it now. This is a bad hockey team. That's it. I'm tired of beating around the bush. I'm tired of just saying, oh, maybe next year, you know what? They need this. They need that. They have gotten everything they've wanted, Tim. Everything they've wanted for 6 years. Oh, our coach is too hard on us. Our coach, we don't like playing for Mike Babcock. He says things that we don't like. Okay, let's get rid of Mike Babcock, arguably the most famous coach on the planet. Let's get rid of him and bring in a player's coach, Sheldon Keefe. Okay, good. We're going to win. No, same team. Put up a lot of points. good in the regular season, suck in the playoffs. And they're doing it again. I don't know why we're all surprised. I don't know why this is groundbreaking news. I just think we have to put a stamp on the Leafs. They're a good regular season team. They're full of a bunch of spoiled brats who get whatever they want, whenever they want it. And the second it gets hard, take care, comb your hair. I'm out of here. They don't have it. They don't have what it takes. And it's crazy to say that a team with Matthew Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, Carter Verhaeghe is beating a team that has all world talents. Rocket Richard trophy winners. We got Selke winners. We got arguably one of the top five or six defensemen in the league in Morgan Rielly. A goalie playing on his head in Ilya Samsonov. Not enough. Starts with the top. Shanahan, Dubas set the tone, trickles down to their spoiled brats players. Matthews, Marner, Nylander. Needless to say, we're never going to get him on the show.
That's just going to say, Matthews is never going to come on now.
I could care less. Could care less. I wouldn't want the guy on the show. His personality probably sucks. I'll come on the show if you talk about how great I am. No, it's not going to happen. You're a fantastic goal scorer. One of the best in the world. That's it. And that's okay. You can be that guy. But when you're making $11.64 million, you got 0 points in three games in the second round of the playoffs. Your total stat line in three games is two assists and dash two, Tim. That's it. I don't care what you do in the regular season. I don't care. I don't care at all. You can put up 100 goals. If you don't score when we need you to score, what's the point? I tallied up the points for all the good players in consequential games. Leafs down 0-2 to the Florida Panthers. Matthews, two assists. Tavares, nothing. Marner, one assist. Morgan Rielly, three assists. I like Morgan Riley's game. Remember I said 2 or 3 days ago, he's the most important Leaf, him or Marner? I stand by that. Morgan Rielly is the most important Leaf. New Jersey Devils, same situation as the Toronto Maple Leafs. Down 0-2. Getting dominated by the Carolina Hurricanes the first two games. Like, worked. 5-1, 6-1, I think the scores were. Didn't even, like, why even bother to play game three? It's been lopsided games. Going to game three, their top guys, Hughes, Hirschire, Palat, Hamilton. Jack Hughes, 2-2. 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points, plus two. Nico Hirschire, 1 goal, 1 assist. Palat, 1 goal, 1 assist. Hamilton, shut down D-man, dominated the whole game. That's what you need to do when you're the top guys. Everybody knows McDavid. Everybody knows Draisaitl, what they do. They dominate. Eichel, Stone, Carlson, Pietrangelo. They dominate for the Knights. That's it. Robertson, Heiskanen, Joe Pavs. Those are the guys. When the rubber hits the road, those are the guys you're going to. The Toronto Maple Leafs. Who we're going with Kampf, David Kampf. That's our guy. Gustafson. That's our guys. They're done. They might win one. They might win two games. This is it. This is their team. And we weren't even going to lead with this. It's just, we got talking on the Bruins, who were the biggest collapse in sports history. And the blessing might be is that it's going to get overshadowed by how just embarrassing this Leafs team is in the second round. It's utterly embarrassing. The fact that they have to sit 2 days in Florida now and think about it. And the funny thing is, it won't even faze them. I bet you they'll be at the pool. I bet you they'll be, you know what? It's not our fault. We're doing what we can. There'll be no accountability. They'll go out. They'll continue to live their lives, and it won't affect them one iota. Not one bit, Tim. That's the sad thing about this team. They don't care. They don't care at all. Maybe Johnny T might lose some sleep. Maybe Rielly might lose some sleep. You think Marner's losing sleep? You think Nylander or Matthews are going to care? They're going to go shop. They might hit the beach. They might get a picture taken at the beach. They won't go to the beach. They'll go have a nice dinner. They'll be at the pool. Where do they stay in Florida? They stay at the Ritz. Yeah, they'll stay at the Ritz. They'll go to the rooftop pool, which is impeccable. I've been there. It's fantastic. These guys, they don't have a heartbeat. I'm sorry. It is what it is. They're a bunch of spoiled brats who just, they don't care. That's all. I know that was a long intro, long tangent. Did you have anything to add on this, Tim?
You came ready to talk today. I love it. I mean, everything you said is fair. And I like the analysis you made where, like, okay, if you're down 0-2 and you're playing, it doesn't even matter if it's at home or not. But if you're playing game three, you know Jack Hughes down 0-2 is going to have a big night. You know Draisaitl is going to have a big night if he's down 0-2. You can say that for a lot of the superstars in the league. If, like, Stamkos would have a big night. Braden Point, those guys. You don't know. You don't know with Marner and Matthews. Not only do you not know, you probably doubt it. You're like, I don't know. And I'm not saying like that Jack Hughes and Devils are going to guarantee a win, but you know Jack's getting on the board. You know he's leading by example. Even if he's, what is he, 22? And he's 6'5", 8? Like, it's crazy. And so, yeah, I think it's all fair. And going back to the thing with Dubas, we have given him a lot of credit, and I think he deserves it for the moves that he's made to make this roster better. And whether or not you think he's like responding to players about it, it's still his duty and his job to improve the roster and give them the best chance to win. And so he's done that. And so does that take away from you think he's being too reactive to what players say they are missing? You know what I mean? Like, do you think those conversations are actually happening, and is it just implied? Like, is Matthews at the end of the season meeting last year saying, you know what, like, or Tavares, like, hey, listen, Kyle, I think if we had this and this, we'll work hard and we'll come back next year better. Is that how the conversation happens, or is it just like implied?
Well, they listen to the interviews they give at the end of the season exit interviews with the media, and then they have their own individual meetings with the coach, with the GM. So I'm sure they go in, and Dubas is a young guy, and they probably have a really good relationship. So he goes, hey, bro, dude, what's the issue? Why are we losing? And I'm sure they have a very frank conversation, and they tell him, yeah, we didn't have good defense. You know, we need more help on the back end. Okay, well, we'll go get you some guys. We'll bring in Jake McCabe. We'll get Mark Giordano. We'll bring in Luke Shen. We'll bring in these guys to help shore up the back end. Okay, sounds good. Let's do that. Oh, our goaltender was bad last year. You know, Jack Campbell, he blew it in the playoffs. Okay, you know, we'll go and try to figure that out. Sounds good. Oh, our third and fourth line, they really weren't bringing it like we wanted to. Okay, we'll go get Camp. We'll go get Noel Chari. We'll bring in Sam Lafferty. We'll try to shore up that issue. But you mentioned Jack Hughes. When in the first round, when they were down 0-2 to the Rangers, what was his interview? They said, what's the issue? Why aren't you guys winning? He's like, we suck. The Rangers are better than us. We need to play better. When have you ever heard anybody on the Leafs say that? When have you ever heard Matthews, Marner, Nylander go to the podium and say, we were really bad. The other team is better than us. We need to play better. The issue is me. I played bad. It wasn't. It's always like, you know what? We got to be better tomorrow. Our backs are up against the wall. You know, we got to come tomorrow and do a better job. It's never, I played bad. I need to be better. There's a big difference there. Jack Hughes is 21 years old. He's a 21-year-old kid. He's been in the league 3 years. Like, these guys, they'll never learn it. I have said this for years now with these kids. They're not the group. They're not. Like, this isn't a process anymore like the Philadelphia 76ers were. Okay, next year. It's this year. It was last year, you guys. Like, this is it. This is as good as they're going to get, the Leafs. You think they're getting better than this? No. How? How are they getting better than this? Kerfoot's going to be a free agent. Ryan O'Reilly's going to be gone after this year. Camp's going to want a pay increase. Michael Bunty's going to want way more money. This is the best team that Toronto will ever have right now. Right now. This is it. And they can't get by the second round. Maybe they'll win one game. Maybe two. You think they're going to win four? They're going to be the fifth team all time to come back from a 3-rip deficit? With Ilya Samsonov is a big question mark. Justin Wall with this leadership group. It ain't happening. I'm sorry. We need to just call a spade. These guys are spoiled brats and they'll never win with this group. Say goodbye to Matthews. I was actually thinking about this during the game. You should trade Matthews. Get a massive haul for him. Trade Nylander. Get a massive haul for him. Build around Marner. Build around Morgan Rielly. I like those guys. Even though Marner played like garbage, was turning the puck over left and right in game three. Everybody was. Build around those guys. Get rid of TJ Brody. That guy. Not good. No bueno. No bueno last game. the shutdown pairing, him and Jake McCabe, not so shutdown. Not so shutdown D pairing, those two guys are. But it's, you know, it is what it is. And then give credit to the Panthers. They played fine. All they're doing is dumping the puck in and pressuring and throwing pucks on that. They're not reinventing the game. Toronto is a rush team that tries to get offense off the rush. They don't like giving up possession. Florida is a team that will dump it in, pound you through the boards, get the rebound, or get the puck, go low to high, throw the puck on that, and get the rebound and score. Unless they don't have to when you give them a breakaway and there's a huge Red Sea parting in the middle of the ice and you give the guys breakaways all they want. That's a whole other issue. That's just X's and O's. That's Sheldon Keefe area. So that's the Leafs and the Panthers. There you go. Right, Tim? Anything else?
The series is at 3-0 now, and I know it's only happened, like, you can count on one hand, basically, where teams come back. Are you ready to say it's not going to happen this year? 0% chance?
So the last team to do it was the LA Kings. They did it to the San Jose Sharks. The LA Kings had Anze Kopitar, Jeff Carter, Dustin Brown, Drew Doughty, Jonathan Quick. Just really high character, hardworking players. You think the Leafs have that kind of character in their locker room? No, they don't. No, it's not happening. They might win one. And maybe two. They might get to 3-2. This could even go to 7. I don't see them winning 4 in a row. I really don't. Bobrovsky's playing pretty good. Kachuk's playing great. Verhaeghe's buzzing around. Panthers are playing fine. Friend of the show, Radko Gudas, doing Radko Gudas things. So, no. Do you think they're going to win 4? Are they the Flyers from 2010 who beat the Bruins? Another low point for the Bruins. Unbelievable. Then I think there's a team in 1942. I think the Leafs did it in the Stanley Cup Finals. There's only 4 teams who have done it. Then the Bruins, that's the thing. The Bruins had the team back then too. They had some character. They let that happen to them. The next year they won the Stanley Cup. So they had some guys on that team who had character. You know, the Leafs don't have that. They have no character whatsoever. None. It's just the writing's on the wall. It is what it is. You drafted these guys, you have to go to battle with them. But I think now we can say, we need to try something new. If they lose game 4, Dubas is gone, whether he wants to stay or not. I think if he wants to leave, he's going to go. If they won't want him to stay, it'll be like, you're going to leave, right? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to leave. I'm like, okay, good, because we don't want you to stay. Sheldon Keefe will be gone. You have to have a whole regime change, mentality change. You have to change the way you play because it's not working. And you think Matthews and Marner are going to want to do that? Trade them.
Do you think that's like an attractive job for coaches? Because there's a lot of coaches that are looking for jobs this summer. Do you think they look at this as like, you know what? If I had the reins, I could just make XYZ changes to the way they play, instill a different culture and work ethic, and I think I can get them to the Cup Finals or something. Or do you think it's way too much? Do coaches think that way?
Yeah,
absolutely. Is Quenneville thinking that way at point while he's playing golf today, thinking, you know what? If I had those boys, I'd take them on a run. Or is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think when you're a coach, you always look at things as a glass half full, where you're like, okay, you see the potential. You see the good in every situation as a coach. And you see this team, like, Tim, this team is great. The individual talent on this team is second to none. Like, on paper, this team is the best team in the playoffs right now. There's no team better. They have every ingredient you want of a good team. They have pretty good defense when you look at them individually. The skills are there. It's just when you put them together, they don't seem to gel. So, yeah, I think this is a valuable job. You go into the biggest market in the NHL and you try to win a Stanley Cup. You're getting a statue in front of the rink if you win the Stanley Cup in Toronto. Like, it's just one of those things where it's a challenge. It's the Chicago Cubs, 100 year without a championship. You go in there. Who won it? Was it John Madden who won there?
I don't know.
One of the who was their manager? But yeah, it's that type of deal in Toronto. But anyways, moving on to the next series, the Leafs and Panthers have 2 days off to simmer and to kind of regroup. I think they will win the next game. Just game 4, you think the Leafs will salvage one, get back to Toronto, lose it on home ice? That'd be great.
That would be great. No, I think the sweep happens. I do.
to get swept. I saw a tweet. They're not even going to win a game in the second round. So was it, what is it like they were even there?
Yeah, seriously.
They made the second round. They didn't win a game. All right, moving on. Let's move out west. The other Canadian team in the playoffs right now, the Edmonton Oilers, down 1-0 to the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas handily beat the Oilers in game one. Oilers bounce back. Response, exactly what you want. And I'm not trying to do this, but it's just exactly what you wanted of your superstars, what Toronto could not do. Connor McDavid stepped up, dominated. Leon Draisaitl stepped up, dominated. We have a 1-1 game. Draisaitl has been the story of the playoffs. He has arm wrestled. If it's possible to shy away from the greatness of Connor McDavid and to take from it, he's done it. Every single game I watched this team, I noticed 29. That's it. Yes, McDavid, there's bursts here and there. He's fast. You see him. He's like, woo, he's gone. I think something's wrong with his hip. I know there was a video last round when they were playing LA. An Edmonton beat reporter posted a video and like, oh, why would you do that? He's dealing with something. Draisaitl looks, he says, we said it every show. The guy's he's a beast. He's up to 13 goals in 8 games. He took over game 2. He was the best player on the ice. Oilers womp him. What do you say? Molly Wop him. 5-1. We're 1-1 going back to Edmonton. What do you think about this series, Tim?
If Draisaitl had 13 points in 8 games, we'd be talking about how good he was. We'd be like, man, this guy's on another level. He is just incredible. He's 13 goals. 13 goals. It's crazy what he's doing. And again, yeah, there's this argument I saw online, and I think, who was it? Jason, what's his name from Daily Faceoff?
Gregor. Kind of
dumped on him. But someone was trying to make a point that Draisaitl gets all these favorable matchups because he plays with McDavid, and if he was on another team, he'd be like a star, but not the player that he is. And I guess we might never know, but you can give him a lot of credit for what he's doing right now. And he just takes over games. Like he had all 4 goals in game 1, right? Yep. Even though they lost 6-4, and then he had another 3 or 4 points in game 2. It's just crazy what he's done. So game 3 tonight in Edmonton, heading back home. Do you like the Oilers in this game?
This series will go to 7. I do like the Oilers and I like the Vegas. I think they'll split in Edmonton. It'll be 2-2, and then they're going to bounce back and forth with home ice, and we'll see a game 7 in Vegas. That's what I hope. This is a great series. It's fantastic. It'll be interesting to see who Vegas starts. I'm sure they'll go back to Brossois. I was surprised that Quick wasn't the backup. They put Aiden Hill in after Brossois got just bombed 5 goals, and they put Aiden Hill in. Why do you think Quick is not on the bench at least? Because he was stellar to finish the regular season. Maybe they're just doing him a favor, saying we're not going to make you get dressed and be the backup goaltender and be ready all the time. If we need you, we'll let you start. You don't have to sit there and be a backup. But it was just a strange thing to see Aiden Hill. I don't know if that's been like that the whole playoffs. I don't follow too closely on the backups. But yeah, very interesting thing. But yeah, I do think the Oilers and the Vegas Golden Knights will split. This is such a good series. It's so incredibly fun. It's nice to see 2 teams playing at a high level and going back and forth, and you can see the skill there. Because I'm going back to it again. The Panthers-Leafs game was just sloppy all around. There was turnovers. There were icings. It was just a sloppily played game. In an NHL game, you should get 2 or 3 icings a game. That's it. There was 2 or 3 icings a period, if not more, in the Leafs game. It was sloppy, so incredibly bad. Luke Shen couldn't hit the broad side of a barn with a pass. He was missing guys by 7 feet. It was awful. Same with TJ Brody. All that aside, I feel like, gosh, I know I picked Vegas, but Edmonton, there's 2 very good teams going at it. It should not be a second-round matchup. All that aside, though, the other series in the West, too. Very competitive. Dallas Stars, Seattle Kraken. I did it again. I just completely undersold the Seattle Kraken. I said, you know what? It was a fun run. They beat the defending Stanley Cup champions. That's great. Maybe they, you know, got lucky. Huge upset coming into the Dallas Stars in the second round. A veteran-laden team in the Dallas Stars. Made for the playoffs. A good team. Fantastic goaltender. Stars up front. No pun intended. Fantastic defenseman. All of a sudden, the Kraken team, they're not slowing down. They shellacked the Dallas Stars 7-2. What happened to the days of old when playoffs, they were close? They were 2-1. They were 3-2. They were overtime games. 5-1 for the Oilers, 7-2 for the Seattle Kraken. The Devils worked the Canes 8-4. What's going on? What's with the lack of competition? Let's just stay on this game. Seattle dominates. They win 7-2. They go up in the series 2-1. What did Seattle do, Tim? That didn't surprise anybody. And what have they done all playoffs long?
Well, they win as a team. And so in typical Kraken fashion, 12 different players had at least 1 point in this game. Nobody had three. So no one was dominating. They didn't rely on any one line, on any one player, on anyone, somebody on the back end. It was just over and over, rolling the lines, playing a simple game, bringing it every shift. And yeah, Dallas had no response for it. I mean, 7-2, it was 0-0 after the first tight game. And then the second period opens wide up. It's 4-1. And of course, on it goes. And so one of the things I was noticing too is I think after game one, Ottinger wasn't going to have another dud. He's not going to lay a goose egg in multiple times on the same series. And I was wrong about that too. I mean, 7 goals. When was he pulled? I don't know how many he let in last night, but
5, I believe.
It was a bunch, right? And so I have a hard time with this too, because I didn't take the Kraken seriously in the first round. I don't think many people did. I definitely didn't in this round. And I know we keep saying like, okay, it's time to start appreciating the underdog. I don't know how they're doing it. And what if they move on? Do you give them a chance against Edmonton or Vegas? Probably not, but then they're going to win that series too somehow. It's crazy what they're doing. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. I still think Dallas, knock on wood, is going to come back and win this, because I had them going to the Final Four, but Kraken look good.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at the stats, when you look at this roster makeup. Their leading scorer in the playoffs is Yanni Gord. He's their shutdown third-line guy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he's the guy, he's going out there and getting the hardest matchups. He's the guy who's lining up versus Robertson. You know what I mean? And he's leading this team with 9 points in 10 games. So he's not crushing it, but the balance, the team play, it just carried over. Just when you think they're not going to win, they're going to run into a team that's just better across the board. They don't. They nail it. Carson Soucy gets a sneaky goal through Ottinger's legs. They just find a way to win. But this, I'll go back to what you said about the Dallas Stars. They can play better. That's the thing. They know they can play better. So again, much like the Vegas and the Oilers series, I think this is going to be a long series. I think Dallas rights the ship. There's too much veteran leadership in that room. There's too much just character. I think Ottinger needs to play better. His rebound control was atrocious. His net positioning was terrible. This is not the goalie that we've known the last 3 years. This is not the all-star Jared Ottinger. So I think he figures it out. What bad luck on the first goal. Was it Heiskanen who took a shot right in the face and it just drops down for his Seattle goal? I don't know what his status is, but
he was going to come back, but they basically said, well, the game was out of hand at that point. So they saw no reason to bring him back in the game. So he should probably be ready for the next one.
Smart, very smart. But yeah, like you said, I think this is going to be a long series. I think Dallas rebounds. I think they win the next game. There's only one game tonight, Knights Oilers, because the scheduling in this playoffs is maddening. The Leafs have 2 days off between games 2 and 3, and then 2 days off between games 3 and 4. I don't know if they couldn't get the rink. I don't know what's going on, but it's just very strange. But there's one game tonight, 2 games tomorrow. I think the Stars bounce back. Let's talk about the last series, Hurricanes Devils. I mentioned Jack Hughes, Nico Hirschire, Palat, Dougie Hamilton stepping up, them getting themselves back into the series 2-1. They play tomorrow night. What do you think about this series, Tim? We'll do a quick wrap up on this one.
Well, it started just like the Rangers series, where Carolina dominated the first 2 games, and it seemed like the series was not over, but definitely stacked in their favor. And the Devils come back with a major statement win at home in game 3. And like we mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, Jack Hughes is going to show up when it matters. He had 4 points in this game. He was physical. He was wrestling around with Aho and behind the net. Like, he was just making his presence known all over the ice every time he stepped on the ice. And so, yeah, you had a really strong, like, it's a message. It's a bounce back game for the Devils. Timo Meier scored his first goal of the playoffs finally. Could this be like the dam bursting open for him? Because if he gets hot and he starts to come alive, you're shaking your head no. If he does, it adds a whole new level, layer of offense to their team. Ugh. And so, I like this team a lot. I still think this one goes the distance, but I expect it to be very similar where they win the next one at home, and then it kind of goes back and forth to game seven.
Yeah, it's two good teams going at it. The Hurricanes are greatly coached, well-coached team. Now you got me talking gibberish, Jim, over here, Tim. But yeah, it's just two good teams going up. But, I look at the East. I had such high hopes for this division. And now all I watch is the Western Conference games. It's Toronto's let everybody down, not having Boston, not having Tampa Bay, not having the Rangers, not having the elite teams. The team that I want to win is the New Jersey Devils. I want to see them in the Stanley Cup Finals. I want to see what these young kids can do. Don't act like you're a Devils fan now. Stop. You're a Jack Hughes fan.
Yes, but I've been saying it all along.
You can't be a Bruins fan and a Devils fan.
I had my final four was Bruins, Devils, and Stars, Oilers.
You might get that final four.
3 out of 4. Luke Hughes made his playoff debut last night too. He got 2 assists, one of them primary. So pretty cool.
Didn't look too bad for the young kid. I don't think you see him out of the lineup for the rest of the playoffs. So he's in. I don't think Timo Meier is going to find his groove all of a sudden. He still looks out of sorts out there. He doesn't look like he fits. What everybody thought was going to be a smooth transition. He's a big power forward, exactly what New Jersey needed. Countrymen of Nico Hirschier, they're going to hit it off. It's just, it doesn't seem to fit. And this could carry over in the offseason. We'll see where he ends up. He's going to demand a big, huge contract. Moving into game four, it's another must win for the Devils. They have to win. You can't go down 3-1 to the Carolina Hurricanes and expect to come back and win 3 straight. It won't happen. They'll respond. They'll play good. I don't see them winning 8-4. I don't see them giving up 3 shorthanded goals somehow. I don't know how that works out, but it's a fun series. I'm glad they bounced back. They played well. They're saying all the right things. They're doing all the right things. There's 3 really good series right now in the NHL. It's sad the Leafs are doing what they're doing, but it is what it is. It's good fodder. Before the show, I said it stinks that the Leafs are going to be out because it's so fun to talk about. There's just never endless amounts of things. But TJ Brody, oh, that guy. Why is he chasing Reinhart behind the net? They teach that first day of being defenseman. Do you chase your man behind the net? No, you go in front of the net. In front of the net. Unless you're Leon Draisaitl, I don't think you can score from behind the net. Last time I checked.
That whole sequence was incredible. Like the way, first of all, credit to Reinhart for holding onto the puck, slowing down, starting again. Like getting a lot of momentum quickly through players is not an easy thing to do, that not a lot of guys can make it look as easy as he did. But on the other side of the ice, how does a player go untouched for that entire sequence? Like no one put a body on him. No one throws a whack at him, like nothing. And then he scores.
Yeah, shutdown D pairing.
Yeah,
not so shutdown. All right, moving on, some quick hits. One of my most favorite players to play against and to watch, Mark Borowicki, retired after a very long, very hard-fought career. Looks like he put his face through a meat grinder. He finally retires, 458 games played, 56 points, almost 1,000 PIMs. The guy fought anybody and everybody who asked. He was an absolute, never fought me, absolute warrior. One of the few guys who you could say that guy goes, you know, he's a gamer, he'll fight, he hits, he doesn't take any guff, he just looks like a tough guy. So he retired. Good career for him. It was probably one of the last like hard-nosed defensemen that I can think of who just, you don't want to fight him, you would just give him his space. He didn't put up many points, but he was there to just keep the peace. So good for him. Do you know him, Tim, at all?
Not personally, no, but yeah, I'll echo all those things you just said. He fought Lucic 3 times in his career, Matt Martin 3 times, Tom Wilson 3 times, not to mention 1 or 2 bouts with basically all the heavies he played against, except for maybe you. So yeah, cool, good career for him.
Yeah, another coach got fired. The New York Rangers let go of Gerard Gallant. There was some rumored animosity between him and the GM, Chris Drury, regarding lineup selection. So there was some issues there. He got let go. Obviously, you have to listen to the GM. This isn't Moneyball with Billy Bean saying, play my lineup. Gerard Gallant wanted some guys in, and Chris Drury wanted some guys out. So he's out in New York. He joins a long list of coaches who got axed. We got Sutter in Calgary. You got Larson. You got Laviolette. You got Eakin, Dallas Eakins. Lots of vacancies. I think we'll maybe add one more to that list in the coming weeks once the Toronto Maple Leafs get bounced from the playoffs. I think Kyle Dubas is going to fire Keefe, and there'll be one more. Lots of very just juicy coaching openings. You got Calgary, you got the Rangers, and potentially the Toronto Maple Leafs. So playoff teams, Tim, their coach is getting fired. It's a very rare thing. The Flames didn't make the playoffs. I don't know why I just said that. I still think they made the playoffs, but moving on. Tonight's a big night. It is a franchise-altering night for one lucky team. The amount of hype surrounding this guy, Connor Bedard, I don't even think Connor McDavid had the amount of hype that Bedard's getting. Regina Pats, World Juniors, the guy puts up points wherever he goes. Who's got the biggest, highest percentage chance to get this kid, Tim?
Well, that's the Anaheim Ducks with 18.5%, followed by Columbus with 13.5%, Chicago 11.5%, San Jose 9.5%, and Montreal 8.5%, and so on down the list. So Anaheim is most likely going to get him, but 18.5% is not that much. Like, statistically, it's going to go to another team. But so who do you... I saw a good article this morning about basically every team that doesn't get him, that has a chance of getting him, thinks it's rigged somehow against their team, right? That's what all the fans think. So if Columbus doesn't get him, they think that like Gary personally made sure that they wouldn't get him somehow. Do you think there will be any, because this is a franchise altering player. This is McDavid. This is Crosby, Ovechkin. Do you think there'll be any foul play here?
No, I hope not. But you never know. The thing with that is, if for there to be foul play, there has to be a bunch of people who know about it. And the news would have to get out at some point. Like, but I know why I got traded. It was orchestrated for me to be traded. That never got out there. There's people who know about that. So you never know. You really never know. But out of these five teams, Tim, which one do you think Connor wants to go to the most? And which one do you think he doesn't want to go to at all? Canadians, Sharks, Blackhawks, Blue Jackets, Ducks.
Yeah, that's a good question. I want to say Anaheim he wants to go to because it's basically LA. You get the warm weather. You're going to be like the stud there, but not a huge market, not a ton of attention. But then again, like to play for a Canadian team would be pretty special. To be the guy that puts Montreal back in the map would be a pretty special thing. To resurrect the franchise that is the Chicago Blackhawks. Great quote from Patrick Kane the other day, by the way. He was asked about the possibility of going back there, and he said basically they're rebuilding, so no. Does Bedard want to be the next superstar there for an original six franchise? And then again, San Jose, similar thing, California living. I like Columbus. I don't know where I don't know his personality enough, and he's never really showed it, so you don't really know what he wants or what he's truly like. But he's had his guard up since he was such a young age. Columbus is a cool city, and he could be that guy in a sports town, in a sports state, without the pressure, without the attention, and be a hero. I don't know. What do you think?
I just think hockey-wise, for him, I think the Ducks would be the best landing spot for him out of these five teams. I know Montreal would be fun. There's a lot of good forwards there. The pressure would be a lot, but I think hockey-wise, you can go to a team with a lot of good young talent. You know, Zegras is there. They got Drysdale. They got some of Isaac Lundstrom. They have some high-end guys there. So that's my top. I think my lowest one would be, unfortunately. Do I say the San Jose Sharks? I don't know. Because they have a lot of potential too, but they have a lot of bad contracts. Probably the Sharks or the Canadians are the two that I wouldn't want to go to. It'd be fun to go to Chicago. Like you mentioned, they have the history. They still have a lot of potential because of the zero cap space they carry going into the future other than Seth Jones. So yeah, but I think the Ducks are my highest. I'd want to go there. It'd be fun to go play with those young kids.
So those five teams I just read are the top five teams based on chances. Number six is Arizona, 7.5. So 1% less than Montreal. But Arizona has Ottawa's first pick, which is 2.5. So they technically have a 10% chance, which would put them at number three or four. If they go to Arizona, you know what everyone's going to say, right?
Yeah.
This is Bettman. Will you be one of them?
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't like Gary Bettman. But the good thing is he wouldn't be in Arizona for long because I think they'll be gone. Like I think they last two more years in Arizona before they're gone. It's just, it's unsustainable. I don't think they're getting a new rink. It's all smoke and mirrors. They need to just get out of that city as quick as they can. Just like the Indianapolis Colts did in the night, take them to Baltimore. Just get out of it. Get out of Arizona. All right, everybody. That's it. Anything else, Tim?
No, we'll be watching tonight. Like you said, franchise altering night for at least one team tonight. So pretty cool.
It will be fun. Check out the hockey game, Oilers Knights. We'll be with you guys on Wednesday to recap all the fun stuff. So have a good night, and we'll talk to you later. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.